a very, very old piece of music called Inner Dance by Dr. Jeffrey Thompson from a set called Healing Music. That is so old, in fact, that you're listening to an audio tape. And Dr. Thompson designed that piece to help people explore their own healing transformation. The show is Sound Health. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. This is BBS Radio, and thank you for joining us. On this show, we attempt to bring you information and ideas to support your quest for self-health and self-responsibility in your life. And on the show today, we have an author of Quantum Integral Medicine, Toward a New Science of Healing and Human Potential by Dr. Michael Wayne. We'll be with him in just a few minutes. I have a couple of announcements that look kind of long. Okay, first announcement. Heather, who's usually with us on the shows, has asked me to ask you folks if you would be interested in watching us do what we do live. And this is mainly for the Thursday show where we do people's vocal prints right online and you can watch it happen. We're doing a series right now on weight and the reasons people have problems losing weight, and we wondered if you'd like to see the process. So if that's the case, then if you could write Heather at vocalprofiling.com and let her know, then we'll put this on the air if enough of you want to see it. We're going to use your vocal prints to review psychological as well as biological information. And we've said to you before that you can lie to your voice, but you can lie with your words, but your voice will tell on you. Okay, that's about Thursday's show, Vocal Profiling Live. Number two, we do have a review class about the Weight Project coming up on Monday afternoon, that's tomorrow, from 2 to 3 Eastern Time. And any of you who attend will receive a free download of our latest recording called Doorway to a New Medicine. It's one of the lectures that I did, and we want to have you to have a copy of it. It was done professionally, and we just want to share it with people who are interested in this research that we're doing here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. And some of you have heard Nikki talk about this project and how she's using it. She's lost nearly 50 pounds now since last summer, and I've lost about 40. She looks great, and she says if she can do it, you can do it with a little help from our new program, BioDiet. So you can get in touch with Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, at vocalprofiling.com to attend the Monday review and to receive your free audio download. It's about an hour long. It's about sound healing. And three, this one's a little shorter. Many of you have asked us about information about the reversal of the several cases of macular degeneration we've done using low-frequency sound. And we've discussed these on the show. We've just got a lot of questions about it coming in. We did a video of the three cases, and we're going to make it available online to you. You can go to bbsradio.com and look on Sunday night, and it's listed under 6 o'clock because it's Pacific time where the radio station is. And there will be a link there to this video so you can watch these cases of macular degeneration. You can watch us work with them. Okay, on with the show. Dr. Michael Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. You're an acupuncturist?
Right.
And have over 25 years in Chinese medicine. Actually, you're board certified in Chinese medicine.
Right.
I want to ask you a question later. What's the difference in conventional and Chinese and alternative? But I want to get into your book first, Quantum Integral Medicine. That's kind of a strange title. What's it mean?
Well, it is a heady title. And what I was trying, and the subtitle is Towards a New Science of Healing and Human Potential. So what I was trying to do was lay out a science, a roadmap for helping to understand the nature of our innate healing system and how we can help activate it. But what I wanted to do is put it in the context of understanding, in a way, what holds us back from being able to tap into our healing system. So put that as a foundation before and build from there to understand how we can tap into it. But so what I looked at is our modern system of medicine and what the problems are, and that a lot of it stemmed from the way we all think, the way medicine is taught to students in medical school, the way medicine then becomes practiced, and it's all a symptom of the way the black and white way we're all taught to think. And so what I then tried to go from there is I talked about the quantum sciences and the quantum realm per se, and how that's which is a scientific fact and which really kind of changes the whole scope of understanding of life. And from there I started adding on more layers. The integral aspect is the integration of all the sciences with spirituality to really lay out a new science of healing and human potential. So that is the long and short of it.
So you see a problem with our current medical paradigm. That's a loaded question, but go ahead and answer it.
Yeah, and obviously I'm not the only one. I'm sure you've had many guests who've also been able to make a good case for it. But in a nutshell, again, the biggest problem with our medical system, or one of the biggest problems, is just the way medicine and the science that medicine is based on. It's based on, we call it, modern medicine is pretty much a biomedicine, a bioscience, because it's based on these very the science of biology, and again, it doesn't integrate the quantum sciences into it. So, because it's based the way science is and medicine is laid out right now, it's very what we call reductionist and deterministic. So, what that says is that what medicine tries to do is understand every disease has one specific cause, and once that one cause is figured out, that one treatment will take care of it. And what I see with most, for so many people and patients of mine, is they very gladly go along with that because it sounds so good on paper that, oh, if we give you this drug, it will take care of it, or if we do this surgery, it will take care of it. And if only life were that simple.
You have an example in your book that I absolutely loved, and it fits right here with what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was about war. And about, I don't remember exactly where it was, but about this general who made an absolute determination that there was no security problem, no threat.
Oh.
Can you tell that story and then the next story after it about the woman who had a problem with her doctor who took that same kind of attitude this general did in war?
Right. So I was trying to lay out a story there. I was just, again, making the case of how we're all guilty of this, of believing in our, that we are so right, pretty much believing in our dogma. So this general was in charge of reporting the intelligence in preparation for the war, and even though he didn't know the answers, he reported what he thought was the right answer, and what he said was, we need people who are firm and absolute in their beliefs, even if I wasn't exactly sure. And it turned out the information he gave was totally wrong and led to some big military errors and problems for the country that was at war. And so after the war, everything was over, it was investigated, and the quote I have from this general is what he gave to the commission investigating it. So I gave that as a representative of that kind of absolute thinking, which is pretty much, again, based on this bioscientific, you know, whatever you want to call it, reductionist way of thinking, that we're all pretty much programmed to think, and so our modern medicine is a manifestation or a byproduct of it, and that is that, you know, pretty much you could say it's my way or the highway, or I know I'm right, and you're not right.
And he didn't pay any attention to the facts in front of him.
Right. He like happened so many times, it takes the information and molds it to fit into the way he was seeing the world, his worldview. And that's so unfortunate. It happens so, in medicine, it happens in the world, and it leads to so many problems in so many different ways.
And a lot of people died over it.
Right, and then it makes it even more tragic. Medicine, individuals die in war, multitudes die.
And I just think it is such a good illustration of what happens in medicine, where this it goes on to talk about this young girl that went to the doctor and he gave her absolutely erroneous information about endometriosis, and he's the expert, and she just had to go along with it, and he actually made her worse.
Yeah, that's...
Based on his egotistical, I know how to do it, I read it in a book, or I've done it before, and you have to fit into the paradigm of how I'm going to treat you.
Yeah, I mean, I see this so many times in my practice, and I just... sometimes I get frustrated, sometimes I get angry, sometimes I just try to just look the other way, but it happens so many times where we all just can fall victim to the authority figure. You know, it's if there's, you know, I don't know, I don't know all of the archetypes that Carl Jung put forth, but I always wondered if there was one that's called the Great White Father. I mean, it could be Great White Mother, but the authority figure, that person, I mean, just like we put God as the Great White Father for some people, but if you know what I mean, then it's that authority figure, especially in modern medicine, that whole ritual of the doctor in the white coat, you know, spousing forth as if they're talking to you from and putting forth God's wisdom. I mean, the paradigm is changing a lot now, and people are really becoming more empowered and more realizing how much they need to educate themselves, and you know, so many, and people like yourself are, you know, showing people how they can become healthier by channeling their own innate healing energy. But there's still, you know, I still think that's still in the minority by a lot.
How do you think the system became so broken?
You know, it's an interesting question. And I'm writing another book right now, and I'm investigating that even more. But you know, we call in, let's say, like quantum physics. Quantum physics is a little over 100 years old now, and it was a revolutionary system. And so nowadays, it's called, sometimes it's broken down like two forms of physics: Newtonian physics and quantum physics, or classical physics. But and as if Isaac Newton was the person to blame for everything. But if I mentioned in my book about Isaac Newton is that he himself was a mystic. He formulated the theories of gravity based on kind of visions he had, because he didn't really have total proof. So we can't even blame him fully. I think it's just it goes back to the split in the dualistic way of that people are taught to think. And so to speculate where it comes from may be hard, but what we can see is it self-perpetuates in all the institutions in our daily life, and one of the biggest ones, education. That's why I saved some pages to talk about the education system and how it continually self-perpetuates that very black and white, absolutist kind of thinking.
So you don't think there's anyone controlling this? It just kind of fell in on itself.
Yeah, I think... I think it just kind of self-feeds. I mean, a lot of times, somewhere along the line, you could say, or maybe reductionist to say one person, one thing, but because things just take like a snowball effect, start feeding each other, and then it just becomes the momentum becomes strong, and then it's just trying to stop it somehow, or let it have its momentum, but start building a new snowball.
Is your book part of stopping that moment, that downhill momentum to crash the system? Is that what your book to do?
What's that? Sorry, again? Could you ask me that again?
Do you want your book to stop that downhill momentum?
Or we could say, in Chinese medicine, in talking about qi, we never say, when I treat someone, I'm not trying to stop the qi. I'm always trying to help the qi flow better, say. So I'm not, I don't know, I am trying to change that momentum, but I don't know if I want to, like, stand in front and try and stop it. Just let it have its course as me and you and all you people working at building that new snowball, building the new momentum, building the new foundation. There's an old saying that is paradigms die funeral by funeral, And sometimes, sadly, but true, even though some paradigms can die a little further, but what that means is that a lot of paradigms are held on to so many people and that they'll take it to their grave with them, and it's not till the last person holding on finally lets go and moves on or passes on that we can finally see a full paradigm shift.
Now, I've not heard of this idea of quantum integral medicine. Where does someone go to get a degree or more information about that?
Well, that's an interesting question because when I was working on my doctorate in the field, the school I was studying at, and I was attracted to because there were some interesting faculty. At the time, Norm Shealy and Carolyn Mace were actually associated with the school. But I was interested in my own explorations, so I went into an interdisciplinary program that allowed me some room for organic growth. And as I first was studying, and I have a background in mathematics, so I always had an interest in math and physics. So as I was studying quantum physics, even more so its relationship to medicine and healing, I started seeing I saw that quantum physics, and I make this point in the book, and for some people it's a little controversial because I actually said that quantum physics of and by itself and its relationship to medicine, even though it's great, it has beautiful implications, it actually isn't complete enough. And so I wanted to keep going further, and then I started seeing the concept of chaos theory, how that had a lot of implications, and then adding the integration of spirituality. What I mean by that, to say that, is that in quantum physics, there's a lot of understanding how, and this is put forth in a lot of other people, and probably the most popular last year was The Secret, when that came out, was that we can create our own reality. But sometimes things happen randomly, and so even though as much as we want to create our own reality, it doesn't happen. For instance, in New York State where I live, there's a big lottery going on. It's like called Mega Millions, and I never buy a lottery ticket, but I heard about it. It was like $270 million, so I said I got to buy myself some tickets. And I bought the tickets, and I start getting excited, and I start like thinking, "Oh, I want to win this," but I didn't win. So that chaos theory talks about the randomness of life, but also understands that underlying randomness there is also order. So there is a very strong connection between chaos, quantum physics, randomness, creating our own reality, and so I was trying to connect the dots on all of that, to not negating that we create our own reality, but sometimes it takes a little bit of understanding to say why we don't always get what we want, but we get what we need, I guess, to paraphrase Mick Jagger.
Well, I also think that a lot of times people don't know what they really want,
and that's so true too.
We need to let our audience know that they can call in if you have questions for Dr. Wayne. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-815-9756. There is a direct line, 530-876-3222. And as always, most of our people like to write us. You can send us an email at radio@vocalprofileinc.com, and we'll answer your questions right online. I want to ask a political question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Clinton's mandatory health insurance that leaves out the option of alternative, complementary, and functional medicine?
This is a big issue, and the film Sicko, which really helped, really kind of move some momentum. He had a really interesting scene when he went into England. He was showing the English system of single payer, and he was interviewing a doctor, and he was kind of like poking a little fun at, could you find out how American doctors would be afraid they may not make enough money? But he was kind of tongue in cheek. He was asking the doctor how much he makes, but the doctor, the English doctor, pointed out that his salary, he gets incentives if he can help people become healthier, and I think. And I thought that was amazing. I thought that was great. And I think a problem in this country is because there's so much profit motive involved, it's that mentality or would that mindset and approach ever become integrated into any sort of universal healthcare system? But you know, most of the analysis and approach towards creating a new healthcare, universal healthcare system, as you're pointing out, Sherry, does not discuss any sort of wellness or have any sort of orientation towards alternative healthcare, holistic healthcare. And so it's pretty much a quantitative approach of trying to save money, find ways to shave the cost, and not a qualitative approach of how can we help make people healthier. And I'm starting to think that with the way insurance companies are in this country, that they have no incentive to help people become healthier, because then costs may go down, and then they may have to lower premiums, which would then mean less profits. So I've started to think in that way, and I don't know if I'm thinking very cynically, but
I think there's a lot of our listeners right there with you. They're a pretty savvy group. We also like the idea of preventive medicine, and we aren't seeing that coming out either.
No. I mean, and the thing is, you know, the type of services, preventive, holistic, wellness, whatever type of word you want to use, the kind of work you do, what kind of work I do, I mean, we put a lot of time, care, compassion into our work, and so when people come to see us, you know, our fees sometimes have to reflect that, and most people are used to insurance coverage. They're already paying premiums, and so it's a hardship for people, and I feel bad for people if they are having to make decisions that based on what are their priorities. So there's no model, insurance model, that's preventive, wellness, holistic oriented.
I want to ask you something about your private practice that you just mentioned, but I want to talk about a phone call that we just had this afternoon. The guy just kept calling back and back and back, and finally I answered it, even though it's Sunday and we don't answer the phone on Sunday. I thought he was pretty desperate. Mm-hmm. And he was a guy from a retirement home, and he'd had two cataract surgeries in one eye, and they damaged his optic nerve and made him blind in both eyes.
Oh.
And we were talking about what goes on here, and he says, well, I can't travel, I'm blind, you guys will have to come to me. And so I told him that we had a traveling person who could come out, and he said, well, I don't have any money to pay anybody, the HMOs or my insurance company, and they've just run out my insurance, I don't have anything left. And I feel really sorry for those kinds of people, but we can't send people out to everybody who needs help, because the insurance company ruined them and ruined them financially. We don't have that kind of wherewithal to treat it, but I wish we did.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's putting the provider, the compassionate provider, such as yourself, you know, anyone in that situation, in a very difficult place and between a rock and a hard place, pretty much.
Yeah, you want to help, but you've got to also pay the electric bill and the rent.
Yeah. So it's a very difficult thing, and
I think we have a caller. That's what that beep is about. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes, hi.
Hi, could you speak up a bit? You're very, very faint.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Do you have a question for Dr. Wayne?
Well, I'm a metaphysician.
Yes?
Metaphysics major.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that the place that I'm doing the degree for is certified.
You can check with your state board to see if they're certified. Your state department.
Okay.
But I can barely hear you. Do you have an answer for him, Dr. Wayne?
Yeah, I couldn't make out the whole question.
I'm studying metaphysics, and I'm trying to find out if a school should be certified in order for it to be legitimate, or if there's a process for that.
There really isn't, I don't think, is there's a process for metaphysical accreditation. But you can check out the credentials and the background of the people running the school, and you can ask them if it's accredited or credentialed.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah, and
and then I'm an author. If I could just mention the name of my book real quick.
Say that again.
I'm an author. I was just wondering if I could mention the name of my book.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, it's called One Throughout Eight.
Say it again. One, we can barely hear you.
One Throughout Eight.
One Throughout Age.
Yes.
Well, can you get in touch with Heather at vocalprofiling.com? We have authors on the show all the time, and give her some information about your book. And if you think it's something we want on the show, then Heather can arrange that.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. Okay, where were we, Dr. Wayne? We were talking about your private practice. I wanted to ask, you mentioned your private practice. Tell us about that. What kind of people and issues do you deal with?
Well, I deal with the full range of issues. A lot of people who see me have chronic ailments. And that's one of the reasons is, and sometimes, I'll just say this, and some, maybe you've heard this line too, people who see me with these chronic ailments will say, oh, you're my last hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you've heard that line a number of times?
Yeah.
So, and that's because, Western medicine, modern medicine has, such a poor track record with chronic disease. And so that's why a lot of the people who see me have chronic disease. Most of the treatment approaches weaken the immune system, and then so that's modern medicine. And then most people are kind of not taking care of their health between diet and lifestyle and stress, and because modern medicine doesn't address those issues either, people aren't really understanding what they need to do. That they're not really educated on or empowered on it, and so then they come to see me with hope. And the people who do really well, and I'm sure the same for you, are the people who want to take a role in it, and it becomes a partnership, and they realize they have to make changes. The people coming just in a passive way and just want to be healed, some of them do well, but they're, I always try to educate people regardless.
You use acupuncture and herbs, and what all do you use?
I could pretty much say I use an integrative approach. I use acupuncture, I use Chinese herbal medicine, I use nutritional counseling, and I'll teach them stress management approaches, or talk to them. Sometimes I'm almost more psychologist. Pretty much I try to get in a person's head and understand what's eating at them, what's causing their issue, so that we can start getting to the bottom of it and seeing what they need to do to rectify the situation. And what's
you said
that?
You said you were in New York. How can people get in touch with you?
I can give my email address. My email address is M. Wayne, the first initial of my first name, and then my last name, Wayne. So M. Wayne, then the number 2, mwayne2 at mac.com, like the computer Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So people feel free to email me if they have questions. I'm always, always glad to try and help educate people. I have a website, drmichaelwayne.com. That's another way I can look at what I'm doing.
Does someone have to come and see you in person, or do you do phone or email consultations?
I do. I can do phone consultations. A lot of obviously the acupuncture, no, but obviously with other things, the counseling. And I also do what I call quantum thinking, and actually my book that I'm writing which is a follow-up to the book we're talking about, Quantum Integral Medicine, is a book on quantum thinking and pretty much helping people to think more clearly and opening their minds up to not just for medicine and just for human potential in general. So that's why I counsel people. It's, in a way, it's almost coaching to help them tap into their capabilities.
I have a question from the audience. On an email that sort of fits into this. It says, on Amazon there's a review that's not so supportive of your book. The writer states that acupuncture has no scientific basis. I don't know much about acupuncture, but even I've read enough in the literature to know that acupuncture has centuries of data and experience behind it. How do you deal with the opinions of people who are so limited in their knowledge base?
That's a good question, and I remember when the review came out, and actually the person who wrote the review was someone I knew. It was someone, a mutual friend put us in touch. He lives in Alaska, and we started having an email conversation with, before my book came out, and he was an engineer, a retired engineer, and so he really was very combative, and he was refuting a lot of the stuff I was saying about quantum physics, and because a lot of some people believe quantum physics has no place in medicine, in healing, and spirituality, and so he was one of them. And so I guess in a way, once my book came out, he read it, and then decided to post a review, and I thought the review was actually a backhanded compliment, because he started out the review by saying, if you like Deepak Chopra and books of that genre, then you'll like this book. So, and then he went on to say, but obviously he didn't like my book, he doesn't like Deepak Chopra, and he went on to say acupuncture is not a science, and, you know, again, that's that whole mechanistic black and white way of thinking, and
well, I read the review. I read other reviews of it, and his was very lengthy, very ego-based, very my opinion's correct. So the person who's writing in, very good. How do you deal with somebody so limited in their knowledge base?
You know, that's the biggest challenge of them all. When I give talks, I start off a talk. And I say the reason, I started off talking about the reason I wrote this book, and I said it started out just, I had a question that I, for myself, and the question was, based on my clinical experience, what holds people back from healing? And at that point, I didn't think I was going to write a book. I was just interested in understanding that to serve people better, to help people heal. And that's, I started researching, I love research, so I started researching it more and more, and what I found was the biggest impediment is the way people think. And so this person right here, that reviewer, was someone of that, probably of an extreme, of just a very dogmatic way. And that's why I'm writing this new book, but it's, you know, you'd love to be able to change every person's mind, and actually, in writing my quantum integral medicine book, one of the reasons why I have a very lengthy bibliography, a 20-page bibliography, and I took pains to cite everything and show all my sources, was I thought I wanted to write this book for the medical profession. That was like my audience, scientists, doctors, to say, show them, you know, the way you think is not the full picture, and I can back up everything I say. But I found out that audience, like anyone who has dogmas, they can refute anything you say, and they can just have their own way of seeing it. And I gave one talk. Someone arranged a talk for me. It was what I thought was my dream audience, because it was an audience of doctors and scientists. And I thought, oh, this is the audience. I'm finally going to be able to make some headway. And my talk went as well as a lead weight. It sank. And after the talk, I had one person, I took for granted people understood the concept of an innate healing system, and that people would accept the fact that, this audience would accept the fact that we have one. And that was one of the first questions someone asked me once we got the question and answer. They wanted to know what proof is there is that there is an innate healing system.
Well, there definitely is an innate healing system. You know, and I think it'd be a really dull place if we all thought alike, so.
Yeah.
Everyone thinking their own stuff is okay. But there has to be an innate healing system, because you cut yourself and your body heals itself. That's proof right
yeah.
there.
So I was a little surprised that someone would ask me a question like that, and this was a doctor, and so he was basically saying, you know, how can you, I want to hear proof. There is no such, it was a foreign concept to him. So that's what I realized. I was in a very difficult turf of, and that was the audience I thought I wanted to change. So, you know, people want to hold on to their beliefs. It's
I find that bizarre that a doctor would think there's no innate healing force.
Well, I have a quote, right, and I have a quote in my book from Norman Cousins, whose book Anatomy of an Illness is one of the greatest books I've ever read. Actually, it didn't come from that book. It came from an interview he did. But he talked about how in medical school, students learn about every system of the body. They learn the circulatory system and the endocrine system and every system. But the one system that isn't mentioned in any textbooks is the innate healing system. And so, it was really well put the way it did. And that's why I thought it was worth putting his remarks in my book. And it was so true. So students are not taught anything about innate healing system because it doesn't fit into this mechanistic way that the body is understood to operate from a kind of a linear deterministic way. And so then doctors, once they're practicing, have no regard that there is such a thing.
The phenomenal idea that you can get pregnant without thinking about it, you can build a new life without thinking, oh, I'm going to do the eyes this week. I mean, that's incredible that they're that closed. You know, we're talking about the mind here and the person's ability to go beyond the body. Do you think that's where conventional medicine and the idea of self-health can meet? Is that kind of the idea you're presenting?
Well, I think like mind-body medicine is starting to cover, is covering that territory really well, and there's a whole science of mind-body medicine now to help explain it. But I think modern medicine is kind of being pushed, sometimes kicking and screaming in that direction. And so I think there is a meeting of it. The further reaches of medicine of a new medicine are really even more the capacity of the mind and say like distance healing and those kind of capacities aren't fully explained by mind body medicine. So for mainstream modern practitioners who are starting to have to accept that there's a mind body connection, that new era of medicine may not be fully accepted or understood. So again, it's for the pioneers, the people on the cutting edge who understand more the what we call quantum medicine, or just the capabilities of healing that transcend time and space.
When you're working with someone, do you use meditation, altered states with them?
It's an interesting question, Sherry, because one of the things about acupuncture is that for a lot of people, when they receive acupuncture, when they're laying on the table with the acupuncture needles in them, that they actually go into a you could call it an altered state. Usually, they go into a lot of times their body transcends the space-time continuum. So I always understood that, and that was one of the things I was trying to investigate when I was trying to understand what holds people back from healing. But I'm always trying to understand how can I help people go into that place and help them do it on their own. So I'll talk to them about meditation, or basically what I talk to them about is becoming more mindful in their everyday life. So in a way, not only transcending time and space, but becoming more present in the body. Because for a lot of people, that's one of their biggest issues is being disconnected to themselves.
My very first acupuncture treatment was an emergency, and it was absolutely awesome.
Uh-huh, right.
I had been at a conference doing a lecture, and I was poisoned. Somebody sent a bottle of poisoned water to my room, and stupid me drank it. And I broke out in these big splotches. My eyes swelled shut, and there was an acupuncturist there in the audience. And they brought her in, and she put a needle in the back of my neck, well, two or three. I could physically feel the heat swishing, and I could hear the air swishing out of my head, and the splotches began to disappear. It was just absolutely miraculous. I had heard about it. I'd studied about it. I believed in it. I'd never had it done, and that was incredibly awesome. I think she saved my life.
Wow, what a introduction, a first experience. That's a That's a remarkable story, profound.
I just totally believe in alternatives. They've been around. We've been trying to find ways to heal ourselves for eons. But I have a question about part of this, about kids. Do you have any idea how this, well, how is this applied to a child that might not have the mind skills of an adult?
Well, that's an interesting question, Shari, and I treat children, so I make this point to people that to adults who see me, that children and animals with acupuncture, and actually with any sort of natural healing approach, respond really well, sometimes quickly, with again, acupuncture, herbal medicine, homeopathy, anything. You've probably seen it. Maybe not with animals, or maybe with animals too, with sound healing. But that's because children and animals are clearer channels. They don't have the baggage that adults have. So I think that one of the biggest issues for adults is learning how to just become more in the flow, how to let go of the baggage, how to open themselves up, be an open vessel. I couldn't speak for what you do. I'd make a fool of myself, but I would think even for opening up to the sound healing, that same terminology. And so children oftentimes respond really well. I mean, sometimes parents have to make some dietary changes, because that can kind of gunk up the works, but
I guess imagination with children was what we call meditation for adults. You could use imagine with a child.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, they're such clear. I mean, children are still they're full of joy, and they're just clear channels. Children love to laugh, and so sometimes when I treat children, all I like to do is tell jokes with them and just get them to laugh and just let them have fun.
We have some good questions from the audience. You ready for a few?
Sure, oh, love it.
A few more, I should say. What do you think of the power of prayer to heal? And that's from Toby in New York. Thank you for sending your email.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's when I was saying about distance healing and kind of the cutting edge of medicine, prayer, which has been around, and prayer and its use of healing has been around, probably as long as humans have been around. And so we could call that quantum medicine or than whatever term you want to use, but prayer, and what that gets at, and that's what I tried to get out of my book, it's about resonance and how do you get to create a resonance with a person so that they can help, that they can open up, that their own innate healing system emerges, opens up within their body, prayer is such a beautiful way to help create the healing process, help facilitate the healing process.
So you believe in that power of prayer. Here's another belief question. Do you believe in opposites, that we can make ourselves ill as well as we can make ourselves well?
Oh, these are great questions. That's another, that's actually a scientific fact, and that's some people know about this term, the nocebo effect. We know about, but some people don't. A lot of people, everyone knows the placebo effect, the power of, it gets derided by cynics and say, oh, that's just mind over matter, making yourself think well. But it's really about, and it's not that far related, removed from prayer, distance healing, the ability, or just mental healing. But the nocebo effect is about the power of negative words, negative energy. One really good example is, let's say a person with cancer, doctor says, makes that ridiculous statement, you have 6 months to live, and then the person fulfills the prophecy. That's a nocebo effect, because it's really not based on anything but averages and statistics, which has nothing to do with individual capability.
So the answer is yes. So these people who are hypochondriac could actually be facilitating and perpetuating an illness. Two really good questions here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another one. Do you think people need to have a stimulus for innate healing to initiate, like the Australian Aboriginals who use the sounds of the didgeridoo to facilitate healing? That's Sharon from Albuquerque.
Oh, well, you've got great listeners. I absolutely believe that, and that's what I tried to get at my book. I was talking about, as the book progressed, and I was trying to make a case kind of in a logical fashion. I was discussing what are the triggers that open up the innate healing system, and what I was getting at is this concept called emergence. Emergence has been studied actually scientifically as something to help understand what it is that how do new things emerge from the body or in the ideas emerge in the world. And what I was getting at in discussing is that the emergence occurs when something is able to kind of enter the body in a nonverbal way, in a way kind of open up the key to what's inside, open up our heart, open up our spirit, open up our soul. So music, I gave different examples, but music, drumming, a lot of things that are more primal can definitely, because it's something that we don't get analytical over. We just feel it in our body, in our soul. We feel rhythm. So that is definitely one way that it can happen.
We have a two-part question here, again from Albuquerque, a lady named Nancy. She said, "I've checked your website, and there's the Idea Lab.
Oh.
Could you explain what that is, and how can someone get started working with your group?"
Okay, and that's why the book I'm writing now, the name of the book is called The Secret to Freeing Your Mind, A Field Guide to Quantum Thinking. And so the Idea Lab, it's not something I talk about in my book, not directly. It's an output or an offshoot of quantum thinking. And quantum thinking, as I talk about in my book, though, is really a concept based on quantum physics and quantum consciousness. So what I was trying to get at is that we all are a great repository of ideas, and we all have the capability to be geniuses, but we get locked down by our dogmas, by our baggage. What I was talking about, by how we're adults lose their ability to be a clear channel, and so we all have this ability to think in the broadest way possible, and ideas are like consciousness, and they have a solid form, and that they can just like quantum consciousness, they can transcend time and space and travel faster than the speed of light. So that's why sometimes ideas are propagated from different parts of the world at the same time. And so that's what I was trying to get at the Idea Lab. And so what we've been doing is working with people, even companies, helping them to, and we have a few things on the fire too, to help stimulate that. Sometimes I work with people just individually coaching. So again, if people want to get in touch with me, the best way is the email address I gave before. I have an email address on the webpage, but I get so much spam that it just becomes too much sometimes. But they can contact me at mwayne2, M, first initial of my first name, and then Wayne, my last name, number2@mac.com, like the computer, mac.com.
Okay, I got another email here. I'm trying to read as we're talking. I don't quite understand it. Maybe you will.
Okay.
A question. I don't know if it's a question or a comment. It's from Jerry. When double-blind studies are done, they are testing to see if the innate healing is kicking in or is whatever is being tested, drugs, are doing the healing. So I guess that's just a comment. And sometimes they do absolute backward studies, and the placebo has more of effect. I just read a study today that the placebo had more effect than the actual drug.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of Nancy's letter, email, says, do you have trainings or newsletters to help people facilitate their self-healing?
Thank you very much, Nancy. I was doing trainings, and I started writing more, and I just, my traveling schedule stopped totally. I actually wrote a novel. It's not on my website. I'm putting together a new website. So I would say the best, again, is to email me at the email address I gave. Then I could put you on an email list. I'm starting to do more getting connected in the social media marketing world on content sharing sites and social networking to connect more with people. So, and then I'll probably be doing some teleconferences, teleseminars. So I would say, so basically what I'm getting at is that I haven't been doing, and that's why there's nothing listed on my website for teaching schedule at this point. Because I've been writing and actually just putting more of my emphasis on that.
For people who can't get to New York to see you, is there specific things that they can work on by themselves?
Look on?
Work on.
Oh, work on. Yeah, you know, the bottom line is that we have an innate healing system, and in terms of healing, that is, that the health provider is really just the facilitator. We are the healer. So, and so what I was getting at before about, you know, being more of a clear channel, or in Chinese medicine, we talk about just helping the qi flow. So a lot has to do with diet and exercise and really just, you know, the way you, the way you perceive the world and how mindful you are. The more mindful you are, the more you will start understanding when you're just a walking stress time bomb.
There's a lot of articles on your site too that give.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh, thanks, Sherry. There's a number of articles on my website. Once I have this second website put together, which will be probably within the next month or two, and I'll start putting excerpts of my new book on. I'll have even more information. Once that's rolling, then I'll probably get more into doing some workshops also.
Can people buy your book from you, or do they need to get it from Amazon?
Either way, they can go on Amazon and order it. They can go on my website, drmichaelwayne.com, and on the book page, they'll see it there, and they can order it. They can put an order in. You can read about my book. I was very honored. I had some really nice quotes from Marianne Williamson and Larry Dossey and a few others. They had some very nice things to say about my book and my work. So you can read about it there. So either place that someone's interested in. And again, if anyone's interested, feel free to email me at mwayne2@mac.com.
When you read the book, write a review for Amazon. There's only a couple on there, and the book is well worth a read. It'll take you more than one setting to digest all the information. Dr. Wayne, thank you very much for being with us. We are out of time.
Thank you very much, Sherry. It's been great.
Lots more questions have come in. I'll send them on to you, and we'll have you back with more of your mind-bending ideas.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
One more time, how can people contact you?
Okay, so they can go on my website, drmichaelwayne.com, and there's an email address there. But our most direct way is to email me directly, mwayne2@mac.com, mwayne2@mac.com, or drmichaelwayne.com, the website. So, you know, feel free to drop me a line if you're so inclined, or just to look at my website.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Audience, and please join us for our Thursday show, 6 Pacific, 9 Central, for Vocal Profiling Live.